If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey everyone, guess what?
What's that, Sal?
In this episode of Mind Pump.
Tell us.
Oh,
For the first 34 minutes, we do our introductory conversation. We start out by talking about weekend drinking.
Yeah, we went off, didn't we, Sal?
We're good fitness examples,
yeah,
aren't we,
Justin? Yeah, beer.
Of course, the activated charcoal from Four Sigmatic saved us again. Yeah. I do want to remind everybody, this is our anecdote. I don't have any science to support this, but it does work. We are sponsored by Four Sigmatic. You can go to Four Sigmatic.com/mindpump. Use the code MindPump and you'll get a discount. We hooked you up. Then we talk about my church experience.
What?
Dude.
It's happening.
I love it.
I might go full church.
Converting.
Team Jesus.
We'll get you a shirt.
Then Adam gives us some tips on how to choose movies on Netflix. Really good insight there.
Don't let your girl in your profile.
Dropping knowledge.
Adam talks about how he's been using, him and Katrina have been using Ned, that's our hemp oil extract sponsor, and combine that with the Organifi Pumpkin Spice Gold Juice as a protocol for sleep, relaxation, and anxiety. So let's go through those two real quick. Ned, the full hemp extract that you can get through our sponsor, helloned.com. That's helloned.com/mindpump. You will get 15% off your first purchase. And then I mentioned Organifi. You got to go to organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code MindPump for 20% off. Then I go off on a little rant and talk about the endocannabinoid system. This is the natural system of the body that regulates pretty much everything, it seems. Hmm. Then we talked about the incredible benefits of sauna use, reduction of mortality, increase muscle hypertrophy, your skin, boost growth hormone.
Lots of good stuff there.
And then we talked about how muscle mass soon may be considered a vital sign that your doctor actually pays attention to.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to mention our sauna sponsors, the best saunas you can buy anywhere, Sunlighten, Sunlighten.com. Make sure you mention Mind Pump to get free shipping. Then we get into the questions. First question was, what are the best ways to combat anxiety naturally? So we talk about sleep routines. We talk about exercise, nutrition,
more Hello Ned
supplements. We talk about blue blocking glasses, which have now been shown to reduce symptoms of anxiety. Of course, our favorites are Felix Gray. We are sponsored by them. If you go to Felix Gray, that's G-R-A-Y, glasses.com/mindpump, you'll get free shipping and free returns.
You know what I missed in that? When I was talking about classical music, Brain FM now has a classical music channel, which I...
Do they really?
Throw one more commercial
I will. I'm gonna put the icing on top of that sponsorship.
What is that? Brain.fm/mindpump.
Get
hooked
up. Yeah.
Next question was, what are our opinions on box squats? And would we ever do box squats over back squats? So a box squat, very similar to a traditional back squat. Lots of power lifters use them. Strength athletes love them. You're starting to see bodybuilders do a lot of them. We're actually big fans.
Yeah, what are the benefits?
And we explain why we're big fans in that part of this episode. The next question is, how do you get your clients to do more mobility work because it's boring? You know, how do you entertain them while doing it? So we give a few options. You
is
can juggle,
boring?
You can tell jokes, or you can do mobility properly as a good trainer, because it's not boring when you do it right. And the final question, how do you determine how many calories you should be eating? Look, if you're trying to build muscle or burn body fat, which is probably 100% of everybody listening right now, you need to know how many calories your body needs in order to accomplish your goal. There's only one way to figure this number out accurately. We teach you in that part of this episode. And of course, MAPS Aesthetic, 50% off. It's the final day. That's it. After today.
Final. It's final, everybody.
It's over. The price goes back up. So if you want to get 50% off, make sure you go to mapsblack.com and use the code BLACK and the number 50, no space. That's black50 for 50% off at checkout.
T-shirt time! And it's t-shirt time.
Oh, it's my favorite time.
Lots of reviews. We're about 4-1 Facebook versus iTunes right now.
Facebook is kicking iTunes' ass.
Yeah. I knew that was going to happen.
So let me just start out with the two winners for iTunes. We have Rachel Pinty and Matthias Nasty.
Ooh. Ooh, he nasty.
Both of you are winners. And then we have a bunch over here at Facebook. We have Edge O'Farrell, Stephen Fallardow, Amelia Snyder, Rachel Ursoff, Michael Patrick, Christine Stodds, Cernelia, Paul Loco Gringo. All of you are winners. Send the name I just read to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Send your
American
shirt size, your shipping address, and we'll get that right out to you.
We're going to run out of shirts.
Yeah.
Price is Right?
Yeah.
Justin, why do you look like someone poked you in the eye with a dick?
Why?
That was very specific.
Why a dick?
Yeah, is it like crusty in there or something? Like, I'm tired, man. I had a rough weekend. Like yesterday was a brew cruise. Have you heard of those?
You went on a brews
brew
cruise?
Brew cruise.
No, not a booze cruise. Not a brew cruise.
A brew cruise.
So it's just beer.
We went to like three different breweries for Courtney's birthday. It was Saturday. And then
happy birthday, Courtney.
That's right. I forgot it.
Happy birthday.
Scorpio friend.
Yes. Yeah, you're all into those signs.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
That's science.
Yeah, it's great.
It is. Lots of science there.
Well, whatever it is, it worked for me. Yeah. So we went on this and with like my brother-in-law's and like basically all her friends. So you know what happens inevitably for me. Like I got fucking smashed.
Like hard,
dude. Cause what else am I going to do? You know, like, I mean, they're great people and everything, but they're not like, you know, I had to force a lot of conversation, you know, and all that. So I'm just like chugging them down.
You had to force yourself to have a good time, basically.
Yes, I did. Yes.
It's horrible. We won't tell Courtney.
I'm just kidding. It's not like that. I had a good time.
I had to get drunk to enjoy my wife's birthday.
I just felt myself getting a little bit. I was like, uh-oh, I went a little too far.
Things to look forward to when you get married.
It's just how it goes, bro.
Did you do the charcoal miracle cure?
I did. You guys didn't even notice, but I stole that ahead of time. I got the Four Sigmatic, the lemonade charcoal mix that they had. So I actually did that like beforehand or as I was drinking and then at the end of the night.
Now, how do you like the black poops afterwards?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's the side effect.
I was like, oh yeah, I did do that because at first I forgot and I was like, uh-oh, am I bleeding? Like, what's going on? You know, like, this is not good.
It's like you poop out chimney smoke.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I did the same thing this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Not the cruise, but Jessica and I basically spent the weekend just we call it the Sal and Jessica show where we go out and we party, and so wow. That's what we did. And we drank Saturday. We went to Campbell. There's this bar in Campbell called Vesper. Have you guys been there?
No, but
have you been there?
No.
Oh, what a great bar.
Is that the wine tasting kind of place?
No, it's a bar, but it's, what do you call those bars where you go in and the bartenders have the twirly mustaches and everybody's kind
speakeasy?
Of
easy? No.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like old school.
Like it's craft. Old-timey. Like they take a lot of pride in making their drinks different, right? And, you know, whatever. Kind of like that bar we went to in Austin. Remember that really amazing bar we went to in Austin?
Yeah,
like that, right? So, well, it's really
like
cool.
That's like a speakeasy.
It's like swanky.
Kind of, yeah, swanky. So we went there and got just that was on Saturday. Did the charcoal that day. Then we did the same thing on Sunday. Had just a great time. Also on Sunday, before we went drinking, went to a church.
Wait, what?
Yeah, went to church.
I think you're supposed to do that afterwards.
No, before. Yeah. I know, right?
You repent after the night of partying.
Yeah, no.
That's like the formula forever.
No, I went to a Christian, not a Catholic church, a Christian church.
How was that for the first time?
So, you know what's funny?
Did you get into
the
music?
Was it a PowerPoint church?
No. You know what's interesting is,
I gotta take you to
mind. You know what he means by that, right? The music.
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah.
The music's up on a PowerPoint. That's what he means.
Oh, yeah. Is that what he means?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't they all do that?
No.
No, that's like a evangelical thing or something.
Oh, if you go to like old school, like Methodist or Baptist, you're reading out of a hymnal.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, old school.
So when I do these things, what I try to do, because I have this inner skeptic that can make it impossible for me to enjoy things for what they are. You know what I mean? And so if I go to a church and I see singing or people up and they're dancing or whatever, my inner skeptic automatically wants to be like, ugh. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, here we go.
But yeah. So what I do when I go to these things is I shut that off and I'm just seeing if I can enjoy it for what it is. So this thing opens up and they have, first of all, the production of this place was incredible.
Yeah. I've been to some of those.
Like they have like legit production. They had It was a Christian rock band,
yeah,
which was good.
Yeah.
So as I'm listening, they did three songs, and I'm like, I'm thinking,
my grandma hates that. Yeah, that they have drums. Really? Like, that's devil. That's the devil's music.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
I was like, no, it's not.
So as I'm listening to it, I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? This is actually not bad music. It's kind of like a free concert. That's kind of cool. You know what I mean?
That's how they get you, Sal.
Yeah, so they're doing that.
That's how they wheel you in.
And then I see,
like, hey, this is just like my Def Leppard.
I'm coming.
A little bit. Yeah. Then they have, you know, there's, you know, people are up and they're, you know, singing along. But then you have like every once in a while, you'll see someone with their hands up and they're like totally in the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so again, my inner skeptic wants to be like, oh, brother. Yeah. But then I
those
stop
are like
it.
The hippie converts.
Maybe. You know what I mean? Well, yeah. So then what I do is I silence that inner skeptic and I just observe it for what it is. And I'm like, wow, imagine being able to enjoy yourself that much without feeling like you care about what other people think. I'm like, look how much fun these people
have.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. So I'm enjoying it. And then the guy comes out and he starts talking and he does this.
Did you register as a first time guest?
You did.
You did.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You're gonna get the email follow up.
Did they did they have you stand up?
Well,
and
no.
I
introduced myself to. They have a little guest area.
Okay.
I already introduced myself.
All churches are different, but some of them will actually.
They have a little closing.
Well, no. In the middle, the people that's filled out the card and said their first time, they'll have them stand up and they'll introduce.
Oh no, this one was too big.
Oh wow. Yeah.
This was massive.
That would be awkward.
This was a big thing. Big stage and everything. So then the guy's talking and he's like the senior. What do you call him? Pastor, maybe
Deacon.
Or whatever. I don't know. And I'm watching this guy, and the dude speaks really well. Like he's like a great presenter. Venture.
Yeah, I know that as Chip Ingram.
Do you know that?
I grew up. He was my pastor for
really?
A long time. Yeah.
What a great speaker.
He's
if that's
really
who it
good.
Is.
Yeah,
really, really,
really
good speaker. Did a good job. So I had a good experience. So we did that, and then we went drinking.
Yeah. That sounds so familiar. That's like my childhood right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Good job, dude. Yeah.
Dude, speaking of childhood, have you guys seen that movie in the theaters called Mid-90s?
Mid-90s? No.
So I watched the trailer maybe a few weeks ago. And
is this Jonah Hill's?
Jonah Hill wrote it.
Yeah. It's
Jonah Hill wrote it and directed it. And
the
trailer, it shows pictures of like kids in JNCO jeans and listening to music. And it's
you were sold instantly.
Yeah, total throwback. Yeah. Total throwback. You know, I watched the movie. It wasn't that. You know what it was? You know what it was?
There's a couple documentaries right now that are on Netflix that are 80s and 90s.
Have you seen any of them?
No. You know why? Because I feel like I got that in Player One.
Yeah, Player One did a good job,
right?
With all that pop culture,
I feel like since Player One, there's a bunch that's came out. If you go through Netflix,
the '90s people are all turning 40, so now they're gonna start making shit for us.
They're marketing directly to us.
Speaking of Netflix, do you guys have like one Netflix account with like just your profile on it, or do you guys separate your profiles?
I have separate ones.
Oh, between like you and Katrina?
Yeah. So
I haven't done that yet.
We're sitting there this weekend, right? Because she's not feeling well from the surgery, so she's kind of laid up. So we watched a lot of fucking TV this last weekend. And I'm like, I'm working on my computer and stuff like that, and she's surfing through, and she's like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, hon, put on whatever you want to watch and everything like that, and I'm working, so whatever, you know? And so she's like clicking through all these movies, and she's picking, I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? And I'm like, don't be picking those shitty movies under my profile. Don't be fucking up my algorithm. She's like, why? Why can't I do that? Because I'm like, you pick because we have this.
It'll
thing.
Recommend some shit.
Well, she thinks I'm really silly because I won't watch something like unless I have a personal referral. So if one of you guys said, go watch this, it's great. Don't pay attention to the referrals. These are just
the reviews. You mean?
Yeah, the reviews. No, yeah, sorry. The reviews. These are just people hating. I will not watch something under 50%. I will not. If it's been 50% or less of the people.
Now, is that because.
I haven't even seen anything under 50%.
Is that because you've experienced that every single time you've done that?
No,
shit?
It's just that we live in the future now. It's fucking beautiful.
It's hand-curated.
Exactly. Yeah. When fucking 500,000 people watched it and fucking 90% of them said it was a shit movie, I don't need to go in there
this
to prove.
It's not a good match.
Right.
Yeah. Not to
Katrina
interrupt you.
Is the opposite. Yeah. Katrina's like. Why don't you make the decision for yourself? And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's stupid. The whole point of having the algorithm is so I don't have to do that. Right? So we get in this big debate over
this. Are you going to let them think for
you? Yeah, exactly. That's what she starts saying
like
to
punking
me.
You.
Yeah, she starts like, you know, why don't you think for yourself? I'm like, it's not a matter of me not being able to think for myself. It's using the tools that Netflix has provided us so I don't have to watch a fucking shitty movie for 2 hours.
Right.
So I was getting on to her about being in my profile. Get the fuck out of my profile if you're going to pick a shitty movie.
Well, technically, we're living in the present. I just want to correct you on that. But you know what it is? Does this happen to you? You'll watch a movie and you'll give it 20 to 30 minutes. Like, I'll watch a movie. I'll be like, all right, let me give it another 10 minutes to see if I need to turn this off. But then you realize it sucks.
Yeah.
And you can't get back that 20 or 30 minutes ever again.
Ever.
That's what happens when you watch movies that were rated 30%.
Yeah.
When it has the little,
filled with anger.
When it has the little green shit splat mark, that means don't watch this. You know, if it doesn't have the red tomato on there, I'm not fucking watching it.
Yeah. No, my kids have their own profiles, and then I have my. And by the way, Netflix now is cracking down on more than two devices being used at the same account.
Oh, they are.
Ooh.
Because I will admit that I, you know, got several family members using the same account. And I go to get on.
I think they know about this.
Yeah, of course they do.
It's not like,
bro, I go to get on and it wouldn't give me access.
I actually think that.
So I had to log out. And then, of course, I get all these messages from family members.
I believe the company was so smart that was part of their strategy. I believe that they did that knowing that where everybody was like, dude, $7.99, just get it and give it to all your...
Because how many people are going to convert now?
Exactly, because you're so used to it. And then it's exactly how they got me was I think there was like six of us on, you know, Katrina's niece's account that were all using it. And the only time you get fucked is if like if four of you are trying to watch it from other places, you get kicked off of it. And like,
well, it took them a while, but dude, their shows are better than what's on cable now. Like they're actually like... Because, you know, they put a lot of money into, like, paying for people to come in and write these like, epic shows. And, dude, did you finish Hill House?
Oh,
one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
Bro,
writing
was so brilliant.
Everyone's talking about
so
it.
So brilliant.
Everyone's you know, it, if you can get past some, like, yeah, it was scary, like, in certain moments.
It's creepy as fuck, but it's so good.
There was one in particular when they're driving. I'm not going to give it away, you know, for people who haven't watched it yet. But when they were driving on the way over.
To make you shit your pants.
I yelled out. I was like, "Oh shit!" And I don't do that. Like, I don't get like scared, but I like at least like, "Oh shit!" Like, I woke the kids up. You know, oh my god, it was so good. I was like, "Oh, you got me, you son of a bitch."
Poor Jessica got nightmares from that.
Nightmares. You know, my favorite
dude. It was so good.
Is listening to people talk about scary movies and then try and convince me when I like explain like that does not.
Dude, but the story is so
it's
epic,
so
dude. It's such a good spin. Scary. Like genre, like I've never seen anybody take the psychology of it and like turn it into an epic story.
And then,
like that.
And then you know it brings everything together so well. And at the end, you just like,
bro,
oh,
but even the acting, like some of the monologues in there, I was like,
perfect.
Talking to Court, I'm like, dude, this is like Oscar worthy shit, dude.
When they were at the when it was the funeral and they were all at the funeral, tell me that they didn't depict what actually happens at a funeral. The realism, the challenges, and the way people act and talk.
Oh, yeah.
They did such a good job of... Because I think funerals are not typically depicted very accurately on movies.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of awkward silences. There's lots of body language.
There's lots of weird conversations.
Yeah, weird shit
people
on.
Coping in their own individual ways. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant, brilliant writing.
You know how I feel right now?
Very good.
I feel like the two friends... You're the new friend of the group, and the two friends are like telling stories back when they were in high school.
Sal, no, but like, let's talk about it. Fuck you, Sal.
You're the third wheel.
I'm in the car. They're like laughing, like, oh my God.
It's kind of like when we talk about sports, Adam. Yeah. You know, I have this thing with Sal right now. Just don't get jealous.
Justin's he's the whore friend that we pass around.
Hey, man.
Have you done?
Why is it me? Why are you guys my whores?
Sometimes he's with you. Sometimes he's with me.
That is
fine.
True.
That's true. I'll take that.
Just
as long as I get to hang out, you know?
Just swapping back and forth. No, Jessica got nightmares from it. Like we watched it. I think it was the second or third night we watched it. We go to bed. This is what she does. Poor girl. She's asleep and she just sits up and she goes, no. And I look at her. I wake up. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And she goes back to sleep. Like that's a kid's nightmare. That's how children have nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they get up and. So you were
see that.
You were taking care of your girl all weekend, huh?
I was. Oh, yeah.
Are you a good caretaker?
Awful.
Really?
The worst.
I don't know. I might be worse.
The
than you.
Worst. But I
you
feel,
just give her a big bowl of cereal.
No, I mean I try. I try really hard. I'm just awful. I'm
like,
really
hot towel. Like what do I do here?
Yeah. It's not until these moments happen do I realize how fucking bad I am. And let me tell you, like it takes a lot of work for me not to be awful.
You're not like massaging your feet and just
well,
baby
she's very sensitive to the touch right now. I guess maybe that made it a little bit harder too because I couldn't like cuddle her and hold her. Like she's in pain. She doesn't really want to be touched right now.
Yeah.
So she wanted me like really close to her all the time, but not really touching her. Like you know, and she wanted me wherever she was at most of the time. That was up in the bedroom because it wasn't until yesterday did she come downstairs. So, and it got to a point where I'm just like, I can't sit up in the bed like on a Saturday afternoon and a Sunday afternoon. Like, you can watch football. Like, you can get me hold still to watch football all day long. So that worked out really well for me.
You get stir crazy.
Yeah, I do. And I'm just, I'm not a good caretaker at all.
Is it because you feel like you're not, like, you don't know what to do? You're not tentative, or because you get annoyed?
I don't get annoyed at all. It's not that. I just think that I don't have a lot of empathy with that. I think just because I was raised so independent early on that I lack that, like, that needy help thing. I feel like, come on, I was figuring shit out by the time I was 7. You can get this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and that I don't really
got this.
I don't really think that way, but trust me, I really, as a guy who is in a, you know, with an incredible woman that I've been with for 8 years, and she's amazing and super attentive and just so much better than I am at all these things. When she, and it's rare she's ever sick or down. Like, I, like, actively am, like, I tell myself going into this, like, you got it. You can do this, Adam. Like, you can be better at this. Like, so I have, like, the conversation, you know. And so what I did what I did good about this is, you know, Katrina really takes care of the household a lot. So, you know, for me, I that was the most important thing, was I didn't want.
So you did all that.
Yeah, all the dishes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, keeping up with all the household.
I bet she would disagree. I bet she would say that you did a good job.
It'd be interesting to hear her opinion on how I was, you know, like, because I think there was a couple times where she felt needy and wanted to say something, but then realized that I had been doing a lot of stuff for her. So I don't think that she said anything, but I could feel that. And so I just tried to be closer to
her. Yeah, you know, you make a good point. You probably learn how to be a caretaker by the way your parents take care of you when you were a kid.
Of course.
Right? Because it's a skill that you have to kind of learn, right? Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And Cass, my sister was up this weekend, right? Because she was up for the training for the HubSpot and everything. And so we were talking about these things, and we were sharing, like, old stories. She's like, you know, Tom doesn't believe me, like, when I tell him stories of, like, you know, the things that we did at such a young age. She goes, I just recently, we drove to our old town, Modesto, where we grew up. And there is our neighborhood where we were kids. And when we were there, lived in that neighborhood, I was in third and fourth grade, which would make Cassie in first and second grade. So figure the ages out.
Yeah, you're tiny.
Right.
You're 8, 9. Yeah.
And so we walked to school every day, to and from school. And school was about a mile and a half, 2 miles away. And you had to cross a 4-lane highway to get there. And Cassie, like, took him on the path, and he's like, how old were you?
I'm like, you were little kids.
Yeah, dude, little. Wow. Like, holding each other's hands,
so sketchy,
crossing over a fucking 4-lane highway to get over to walk through another, like, 6-block neighborhood to get to the school. And we were in, you know, first and second.
You know,
and
nowadays,
third and fourth.
If a kid was seen walking like that, they would probably get stopped.
For sure.
So my kids, we live, no exaggeration, 1 block away from the school where my kids go.
Yeah.
Now, they have to go around the block, but the school is almost literally across the street. That's just the way they get out of the school.
You could almost throw it. Your kid's school, you could throw a tennis ball.
It takes 5 minutes to walk there.
Right.
Okay, exactly 5 minutes. And so my son's in eighth grade, so he's 13 years old. Now, at 13 years old, we all know how we were when we were 13. They walked home from school one day, and the school called us and said, we don't know if we like the kids walking. Make sure you come in and talk to us about it first or whatever. I'm like, what? We're right down the street.
13 years old?
Yeah, and he walks his sister, and it's like, times have changed so much, man.
Yeah.
So much.
I used to walk so far to get to school, dude. Like, and we'd go through, like, all these horse pastures and, like sketchy trailer parks and, you know.
there was
lots of shit I went through to get home.
When I was 11, 12, and 13, that's when my two youngest brothers and sisters were newborns, and I was staying home on weekends and days, babysitting them, as kids, which is also why I think I mentioned that on the show the other day, where people, they see me with kids and, like, oh, wow, look, he knows how to do it.
Yeah. I was trained.
Yeah.
Of course I know how.
But I think that's also where the because of the independence, which I talk all the time about, I'm happy and I'm blessed that I went through all those things, because it made me an old soul. And I think
it's an important skill.
Right. I grew up and matured very fast. But then here's the limiting factor. You know, here I have a partner who's down.
Sure.
And I just don't have this nurturing bone in my body. I have to actively train that and think about it, or else I'll just be like, you got that, right?
I was totally different. Although I walked as a kid to school and that kind of stuff. My mom was, my God, if I was sick, are you kidding me? oh, my baby, my partner. This is when I was like 15, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Making me whatever, giving me this, and oh, let me get you a blanket, let me open the window for you.
It's such a testament to your personality. I feel like I can totally see that in you, even when you're very, very attentive to everybody's feelings.
Remember when we went traveled and you had your bus?
When I'm sick, the way you took care of me.
Shuttling Adam around.
Better than I ever have taken care of any partner that I've ever had, because I'm awful at that.
Give him a nice shoulder rub.
And I'm sure it is, because your mom, you know, your mom probably instilled that in you.
But the flip side of that, the negative of it, now if you ever consider the way I was raised, you would think I'm the most independent person in the world, considering, because I didn't learn any of those skills. When I moved out because I was very ambitious and driven, and I had bought shares of a large health club, and I was 21 years old. I didn't know I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to wash a dish. I didn't know how to freaking use a vacuum properly. Didn't know how to wash my clothes. So it was like I had to learn all this stuff at 21 years old. It was a very interesting learning curve for me.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious because I got shredded in a very short period of time because I lived off of tuna fish and like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and it was protein powder. It's hilarious. Yeah. And my mom would be like, "What do you?" And I'd call my when I first moved out, right, 21. I'd call my mom, "Hey, how you doing, mom? Oh, what's going on? No, nothing. So what'd you do today? Oh, I had some. What'd you eat for breakfast? Oh, you know, can of tuna fish." And then she'd be quiet and be like, "Mom," she'd start crying. I'm like, "What's the matter?" "You're just eating tuna fish all day. Nobody's taking care. Nobody's feeding my baby." Then they came to visit, and then they would stock my fridge with all these meals and do all my laundry. And I was like, "This is hilarious.
That's great.
This is so funny."
I introduced Katrina. I got one for you guys, the listeners. So I think I dropped the Christmas blend last year sometime with the red and the
I'm
green.
I'm actually upset they haven't branded that yet.
Right? Like, what the fuck?
You did all the work for them.
So I got a new one for you guys. This was a game changer for me the first time I had it, and I introduced it to Katrina this weekend, which is I take our Ned. I do two full drops of the Ned. Remember, set it under your tongue, let it sit there for a good
minute.
Yeah, a minute to 2 minutes, let it sit under there. After that, I have the new pumpkin spice Organifi juice, which I'll take. I take almond milk. You can use coconut or cashew. I think Doug uses cashew.
No, he's macadamia.
Or macadamia is what he uses. Yeah. So I think almond, I think froths up the best because I like to. So I'll heat it in the microwave for 2 minutes. Then I take a frother, I froth the milk up, and then mix the...
Oh, you froth, bro?
Oh, bro, yes. Dude. This is the way to go.
That is the way.
And with the pumpkin spice, and so you chase it down afterwards with that.
Chill.
Oh.
Chill.
So chill. I haven't
frothed yet, but I've definitely done like a tea, you know, with the Organifi. Oh, it's great.
I don't use a frother, but we blend it. We have a...
Do a frother. It just adds a nice texture to it when you...
I got to step up my froth game.
It's super... It's insanely good. It's almost like... It feels like you're cheating.
Yeah.
Because it tastes so good.
Wow. It tastes amazing. And the feeling that I get, nothing like settles me down better than that right now.
Well, since we started the sponsorship with Ned, the hemp oil, I've gotten at least a dozen messages from people saying that it's one of the most effective
anti-anxiety, right?
Yeah.
Me too.
Anxiolytics that they've ever used. And it's pretty fascinating. I love getting messages like that because it makes me feel good about the stuff that we're promoting, because it really is helping people.
It's quality stuff.
Because the other alternative to anxiety treatment besides lifestyle, because that's number one, right? You got to change your lifestyle and all that kind of, diet, exercise, and stress management and all that stuff. But in terms of like an emergency acute, treatment for the symptom of anxiety, because if you have anxiety, it feels terrible. Your alternatives are what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You take a benzo, like a Xanax, that's highly addictive.
I was talking to Doug off air before this, and he used it this way, which I've done this before, where I make the mistake and have caffeine too late in the day, and then I know like I'm in for a rough night of staying up just wound up. And so that I love it for things like that to counter that. Again, like you said, I think we always, and we have since day one on this show, promote overall health and nutrition, meditation, doing everything all naturally. But if you're going to take something to ease your anxiety or settle you down before you go to sleep, you can't get better than that. That to me is a much better alternative than taking
I think one of our questions coming up too is about anxiety. So we'll get into that later in the episode. But just in terms of the cannabinoid system, there was another article, a brilliantly written article We'll put it in the show notes if you guys remind me. Maybe Doug can remind me.
Didn't you just do a post on the?
I did a post on it, and I posted the article in our private forum so people could read it. And it talks about the endocannabinoid system, and you know this is a system that really wasn't discovered till the 90s. Up until this point, scientists were perplexed as to how THC really interacts in the body. It was marijuana research, by the way, that helped us discover this natural system in the body. Mm-hmm. But these receptors, they're one of the most abundant ones in the human body. The CB1 receptor is the most abundant one in the central nervous system in the brain. And this system exists in all vertebrates. So all vertebrate, you know, species on Earth. So it's like 600 million year old system. And what it does is it literally, without getting too complicated, when you look at the way synapses communicate with each other through neurotransmitters, like let's say dopamine, for example, is one of them, or serotonin, it goes from a presynapse to postsynapse. So it goes in one direction. So dopamine is going from pre to post. The endocannabinoid system is retrograde, actually works backwards. It goes from postsynapse to presynapse. Now, the reason why this is important to understand is it's literally acting like a light dimmer. It's helping control or modulate things so that it brings things in balance. So if you're producing too much of one thing, it's going backwards, telling your body what to do or how to dampen things. It's a balancer of the body. So it's a brilliant system in the body, and it's found throughout the whole system. And the cool thing about hemp oil is the hemp oil has this full spectrum of cannabinoids, none of which are psychoactive. So if you take it, it's not going to downregulate your receptors the same way cannabis will. Like if you use a lot of marijuana, you'll notice you build a tolerance very, very quickly because THC attaches to these receptors. Well, CBD, for example, doesn't.
Which is cool that we don't have to like keep upping the dose of that stuff.
That's really why it's interesting, because it helps your body kind of use its own natural cannabinoids a little bit better. That's an important
thing. I didn't understand that, and that was one of my fears before we got into having a product like this. I was like, well, you know, this is going to suck. I'm going to take one drop, and then I'm going to take two, then three, then four, and then it's like I have to drink the whole bottle just to get the same feel. Like THC, it works, but it's not like that at all.
No.
Cool.
And your combination's really good because the gold juice has compounds in it which are also designed to reduce the symptoms of anxiety. Now, why is this important? Definitely because it feels better. Nobody likes anxiety. It's a shitty feeling. But also, one of the problems with anxiety, and the reason why it's such a hard thing to treat, is you start to become anxious about getting anxious.
Yeah.
Okay? So for anybody who's ever experienced lots of anxiety, it becomes like, oh, fuck, I'm anxious, or you're worried you're going to get anxious. So stopping that cycle many times allows you to stop being anxious about being anxious. You know you have this tool, and then you can start to calm down about it. And many times the anxiety about getting anxious is what's giving you the anxiety.
That's
which fucking sucks. Have you ever experienced that before?
Yeah, that's totally happened to me before. Yeah, because you just get like, you know what's about to happen, and so you anticipate it, and then that just like accelerates the whole process. And you keep repeating that process, and it's you feel like there's no end to it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of new things that we've been doing, so you guys know I've been using the sauna on a regular basis.
Yeah, because you're in your house now.
So every day post-workout, I do 20 minutes of sauna. And I've been doing all this reading.
Was it 40% all-cause mortality? Like it lowers,
reduction.
Right?
All-cause.
Something like that.
Everything.
40%, yeah.
It's crazy. So I've been using it regularly. It boosts growth hormone levels like to ridiculous amounts. They did this one study that Dr. Rhonda Patrick talks about. But she's, by the way, the authority on sauna. Yeah. That's the person you want to go to if you want to learn.
Oh, is she
more.
Really?
Oh, she's fucking...
Dude, she's brilliant.
Yeah, she does so much research on this. It's incredible. But in one of these studies that she cites, high-level use of saunas over a short period of time, and I think it was like 1 hour a day for like a week or 2 weeks, had a, ready for this, 1,600% increase in growth hormone.
What?
Now, that's a lot of sauna use, so that's a big-ass commitment.
Holy moly.
But even just 20 minutes a day, you'll see something like a 400% increase in growth hormone.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, getting these bumps
natural
in hormones
production.
Don't
now,
really do
now
much
that's
exactly.
Well, you just touched on something that's interesting because I didn't believe that was true. I thought maybe you could overdo it. You can't really overdo it then?
I think that you probably build a tolerance. I think overdoing it, it depends on the person, because I know since I've been doing it consistently, I can do it more and more. Whereas, you know, you take someone first time, you know, 10, 15 minutes might be like, that's it.
Is the biggest benefit the contrast of it, you know, as far as like heating up your internal like temperature from, you know, more of a cold kind of climate, or say you live in a hot climate and then you sauna on top of that? Like, what?
It's the actual heat itself.
It's just the heat.
Yeah, it's the actual heat itself, because when they compare infrared to normal to whatever, it's just heat. Mm. All heat produces this, you know, this benefit. And then in rat studies, they did this one, and this is, of course, rat studies, so whether this translates to humans or not is yet to be seen. But they took rats and they did the, you know, regular sauna use, and they had 30% increase in hypertrophy. Wow. Over rats that didn't do it.
Damn.
Yeah, and so what happens with when you sauna is you activate something called heat shock proteins, mm-hmm. which tip things in the favor of protein synthesis, because you're always fighting between protein degradation and protein synthesis. If you synthesize more than you degrade or whatever, that's muscle growth. If you go in the opposite, that's muscle loss. Hmm. So you're always fighting this balance. And so sauna use may help tip the scales in favor of hypertrophy. So for muscle growth is also a big thing. So it's pretty good.
I told
stuff.
You when I was really consistent here, I mean, and I was in it yesterday too. I'm pretty good. If I train here, that's the first thing. I always go into that afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I feel really good. If I'm hitting it a good 3 times a week, I feel good.
Are you doing 20 or 30?
I do a good at least 20 to 30.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll sit in there. If I have the time, I'll sit in there longer. I'll do a minimum of 20 though. Mm-hmm. I won't do any less than that. And I like the infrared too, because I feel from the infrared, I feel my skin looks better. Like, because and I have something like psoriasis. It's such an easy measurable thing for me, mm-hmm. and I was inconsistent with it not that long ago. And again, I watched my psoriasis all kind of flare up, and then as I start to get consistent again, I see it kind of suppress again. It doesn't eliminate it. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, you know, I get DMs too, by the way, all the time about this, like, you know, how much does the infrared really work? Well, it does not get rid of my psoriasis. It doesn't go from like having it that, oh, I'm cured. Mm-hmm. It keeps it.
It just makes a difference.
Yeah, it makes it makes enough.
It mitigates the symptoms.
And for something like that, anybody that has that or, you know, suffers from it, it fucking sucks, because you get these scabby looking things on your body that look disgusting.
Well, what's fascinating to me is it affecting the skin directly? Probably. And also it may be modulating your immune system, which is on a more systemic level.
Right. Well, what about the growth hormone being a factor there?
I don't know if that'll make a difference in it's a good point. That's a very interesting point. Yeah. So one more piece of crazy news. So this is awesome. This was just released or published on the 18th of October. So it's very, very new. And this is in a medical publication. The title, you ready for this? Muscle mass, you guys are going to love this. Muscle mass should be a new vital sign.
Whoa.
So Western medicine.
I like it.
Western medicine is now starting to consider, so they measure your blood pressure, they measure your blood sugar, they, you know, to some extent will look at your blood lipids, like your cholesterol, mm-hmm. your, you know, triglycerides. Like, all these things give you a picture on someone's health, right?
And they always go with the BMI.
Yeah. What they're saying is muscle mass, they're making the case that we should start looking at muscle mass. Now, why? Well, they're showing that. Check this out. Ready? One study showed that women with breast cancer who had more muscle mass had a 60% better chance of survival.
Wow.
Okay. People in the intensive care unit with more muscle mass spent less time on the ventilator and have a better chance of survival. People with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, who have more muscle mass, have better respiratory outcomes and lower occurrence of osteopenia and osteoporosis. In long-term care settings, a study found that people with lower muscle mass had much more severe forms of Alzheimer's. So what they're showing is not only does more muscle mass help you with mobility, help you with a faster metabolism, help you stay lean, all the stuff we already know, more muscle mass gives you better outcomes for all things, which we know already, but now that Western medicine's catching on, I think that we're entering in a new age of mainstream resistance training acceptance.
Oh, dude, yeah, that sounds awesome. I mean, it obviously it's going to make you more resilient overall. And so, you know, with that and having more muscle mass is going to give you more of an advantage to, you know, fight and battle a lot of these like chronic diseases and all these other things.
100%.
Too. That's great that they're looking into that, man. 100%.
It's going to be interesting if we see, you know, like if you go down to like a park with a trail, you see all these people walking and running and doing so that. I mean, are we going to see that in the next decade where you go to places like that now and like you see hardly anybody walking or running? Yeah. You see all of them squatting.
Jogging and walking and is going to be like doing like archaic now.
Right. Yeah. Like if you're going to go exercise or move for an hour, you may as well be doing body weight exercises and things like that.
100%.
That'd be rad.
I will bet you guys, I will bet all my money right now that is 100%. What we're going to see is a revolution in mainstream fitness. The same TEPS revolution we saw in the 70s and 80s with running and aerobics, we're going to see with resistance training. Because if you compare them head to head, and I'm not saying you only do one and you don't do the other. I think they're all important. All these forms of exercise are important. But if you compare them head to head, resistance training kicks the crap out of all other forms of exercise. You're going to see less osteoporosis, less hormone issues, higher chances of survival for all diseases. Because look, let's be frank here. If you have cancer or you have a degenerative disorder or you get surgery and you're not moving, you lose a lot of muscle. Well, the more muscle you have, the better off you're going to be when you come out of that right. You know, that whatever. And muscle mass is protective. It controls blood sugar. It, of course, increases mobility, which means you can move more. Cardio doesn't really do that. Yoga doesn't really do that. And resistance training is very individualizable. I could design a routine for anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, the drawback to it, which is why I think you're going to see an explosion in the market for the need for some type of coaching or training.
Yeah, the education needs to be there.
Yeah, is that it's more complex. Like you can't just go get on a machine like you can with a treadmill or something.
Right,
like that.
And that's why that took off so quickly, you know, walking, running, because it's something people can just immediately just get off their couch and start kind of trying to attack. But we know how successful that's been.
Exactly.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
Our first question is from Alexis Nass. What are the best ways to combat anxiety naturally?
No, here's your...
There's the question.
Yeah, here's your Ned commercial.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, CBD is really for acute, like, I need something right now because of anxiety. That full-spectrum hemp extract with all the cannabinoids, including CBD, it's a really, really good low-risk way of treating something that you're having acute, which I firmly believe, because I've dealt with anxiety both personally, but I've also dealt with it with a lot of clients. I think to have a successful strategy to fight anxiety, you need to have, maybe not always, but I think it's smart to include a strategy that will also make you feel better immediately because of what we said earlier in the podcast, where just getting anxious, over getting anxious.
Just need to get out of that loop.
Get out of that loop. And so, you know, that's important. You want something that you can use in the moment when you're feeling anxious. Hemp oil extract, a very natural, you know, non kind of habit forming, thing that you can use that will give you relief within about 30 minutes is what I've experienced, especially if you put it on your tongue and let it sit there for about 5 minutes.
You couple that with box breathing. You know, or whatever your favorite Wim Hof or technique, it never fails. Like Katrina can tell, like when I'm anxious like that and in bed because I'm restless, and she'll kind of elbow me every once in a while, and she'll make me breathe with her, and it's funny because sometimes I fight it because I'm in my thoughts and I don't want to be kicked out of them, and she's like, go to sleep, so she'll make me do it. If I give in and I do it, it always, it feels like someone's just a calming wave. And it doesn't take but a minute.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute of like box breathing, you literally will feel a huge difference. It feels like this wave comes over you of just calmness. So you couple that
with some of the Ned drops or something. And man,
I think it's important to have, yeah, something like that where it's a protocol. It's something that you just, because then it allows you to get sort of mindless and you're just doing the reps of it. Because I know for me specifically, it was really hard to meditate. Like I could not get into it. Because if you put me in a room where it's quiet and then you turn the lights off, all that kind of stuff, I did all that. But then my inner thoughts get even louder, and then I can't stop it. And so I would do Wim Hof, and I figured out, you know, that was just good because it kept me consistently kind of doing the reps of it, and then it allowed my mind to then just kind of go. And then on top of that, just getting out and putting classical music on for me is really soothing. But then I walk out in nature and just kind of walk, and so the movement of it without thinking and kind of walking really helped too.
Yeah, I just think we're inundated with shit all the time. You're always distracted by something. There's never quiet time at all, and I think we're not appreciating how much of an impact that's having on us. Like here's a great example. I've been working out consistently since I was 14, so I've been doing it for a very, very long time. And for me, working out is very meditative. I get in my workout, I get in my zone, I have a great workout. But I started to notice in the last maybe 4 or 5 years that at moments, the workouts weren't doing what they used to, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and I wasn't even putting two and two together. But then I realized what it was. It's when I first got a smartphone. And what I would do is in between sets, I'd go on my smartphone and I'd work, or I'd do a post, or I'd check my social media. And so what I started to do now when I work out is I don't allow myself to check my phone.
Dude.
And it's way different.
So I can't believe that you went here right now, because I haven't, we're working on a sponsor right now. I'm not even going to say it because we haven't closed the deal yet that speaks to that. So take a note right there, whoever's listening. I have the answer to help that. And because I think that is going to be so crazy. You just brought that up. This morning I'm talking to Taylor about this company. And I'm telling him how excited I am because he's asked me, what do you think? Is it someone you think that aligns with the brand and you want to do? I said, absolutely. I said, I have such a message around that because, you know, yes, there's so many great things about the smartphone, and I do, it's brought us so much further, and I'm on board with the Elon Musk thing where it's
your second brain.
Yeah, so many great things. Like, so I'm not shitting on it, but there also needs to be this thing that allows us to break free from it too, for moments like this. And I have found personally, you know, the one drawback of now my iPhone being also my media player with all my music is it's easier for me between sets when I'm resting to pick it up and surf and do this stuff and get distracted. And
how different of an experience is your workout when you go on your phone in between sets versus when you don't?
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. Like you said, like you brought this up because I had just started. So I brought this old school kind of CD player like down because I have my PRX set up and all that. At my house. So I've actually, like, because I was trying to introduce bands one by one to my kids and, like, you know, just get them listening to, like, the old classics, your Led Zeppelins, you know, AC/DC, whoever. Like, I'm just trying to, like, James Brown, like, so we'll just throw it on there. And man, made such a difference. My phone's upstairs, don't even care about it, but I'm still have the music and the interaction there. I want to take it even to the next level and get back on the vinyl and do that and, like, you know, go old school with it. But it's great.
But what a different experience. I almost forgot what it felt like to have that feeling until I told myself, I am not going on my phone. Because what happened, as soon as the smartphone came out, and by the way, you go to the gym, this is what everybody does. Everybody does this. In between sets, they're on their phone.
Yeah.
Then, oh, okay, I got to do another set. Then they go back on their phone. I stop that completely. Don't get it on anymore. So I do my set, and I'm resting. And I'm doing what I used to do when I used to work out. Looking around, thinking a little bit, feeling my muscles. Ooh, that's a good set. I can feel what's going on. And you get in the zone way deeper, much more meditative. It's what it used to be. So that's one thing. Because exercise, by the way, all studies will show this across the board. If you get active, one of the best things you could do for your anxiety is to be active. And I think one of the reasons, besides the health benefits, because it definitely, you know, the poor health will definitely increase your risk of having anxiety, right? So when you exercise, you get healthier, you're more fit, your hormones are more balanced, all those wonderful things. But I also think the reason why anxiety, why exercise is so good for anxiety when done properly is when you're working out, especially while you're doing the workout in the middle of a set, you have to focus on what you're doing. You're present. You can't think about, all this other shit that's going on. Mm-hmm. It's a meditative practice. It really is. And so that's why I think that's such an important thing. The other thing too is find some time where you turn everything off. And now for me, what that's been now is the sauna. When I go in the sauna, I now don't take anything else in there with me. And I just sit there with myself for 20 minutes. And because I'm doing a sauna, it's easier for me than it is just to sit in a room because I feel like I'm still doing something. So kind of give me permission. But I'm noticing that I'm getting those same kind of benefits.
I mean, I think you really hit the nail on the head with the phone thing, because we take for granted like that. Okay, why is that so bad for me to sit between sets and like scroll through Instagram? It's like your brain is like downloading all that information, and all it takes is a picture of somebody who looks away that you don't, and that discourages you, or somebody commented something that you don't like, and takes you out of that, and that's where you get
your nervous system isn't really in a restful state,
right?
If you think about it, it's just not like you're getting like all this stimulation still.
Absolutely, and it's fast. Yeah. It's fast. Look at one of the most popular social media platforms on earth is Instagram. Now, why? It's pictures. Mm-hmm. It literally took what Facebook did and made it faster and quicker, and you know, feeding your dopamine even more. Well, that's an anxious state. That's an anxious state over and over again. So finding those quiet times, exercising, and then diet. Diet actually plays a role in this. If you eat things that are easy to digest, because that's important. That's actually number one, believe it or not. The number one thing that you want to focus on if you have anxiety with diet is don't eat things that give you digestive issues, because when you have inflammation in your gut, that is a stress response. It will trigger a sympathetic response in the body because your body's, you know, recognizing foreign invaders and mounting an immune response. So go with easily digestive foods. Avoid processed foods. Avoid sugar, because sugar can be stimulating for some people. And see what happens there. And here's the last thing I'll say. Before you go to bed, create for yourself a sleep routine. Because sleep, when you go to sleep, that's the most relaxing thing you do.
Well, and I think that routine should start a lot earlier than right before you go to bed too. I think that's a mistake that some people make. It's like, oh, okay, I got this little routine. I brush my teeth. I turn off the lights and this and that. And then I climb in bed, whatever. It's like, I think that process for me starts around like 6-7 o'clock, mm-hmm. like of the shutting the lights down, putting my Felix Gray glasses on, making sure that my phone is away from me. Now the phone goes into my bedroom, so it's been away from me for at least 2 hours before I try and settle down.
Ideally, you want to wear some kind of blue filtering or blue blocking glasses when the sun goes down, because you want your brain, your brain evolved to match the natural sun rhythms. Your circadian rhythm is supposed to match it, so as soon as the sun goes down outside, wherever you're at, and you see it get dark, just put on your Felix Gray glasses or your blue blocking or blue filtering glasses, and then just wear them.
You know, the funny thing about those things, the science behind that's been around forever. I remember when the commercials for blue blockers
were out. I remember those.
Oh, yeah, when we were kids and our parents.
It was to, like, drive better, though. That's how they were pitching it.
Yeah, they pitched it because of the bright lights, the cars that were coming on and so that. I just think that, and I kind of laughed at it, and I've laughed at it many years. I was very aware of blue blockers, the science behind it. As a young trainer, I kind of mocked it early on. But we do live in a different time now. Mm-hmm. Like 15 years ago when I started personal training, I wouldn't have had to have told a client, like, you can't bring your phone out on the floor with us. Leave it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's something you actually have to communicate now to a client. Like, mm-hmm. put the phone down. Like, we're training. We're focusing on your body now. I mean, people are so attached to it now. And if you struggle with breaking free of looking at the computer screen or looking at your phone or looking at an iPod or iPad where you're getting that high blue light when it's 8-9 o'clock at night, I really do feel it's super beneficial. It's something that I've incorporated into my life now that I never would have done before. And that's when it makes a big difference. I know there's got to be people listening right now being like, oh my god, this is so whatever, woo-woo, you know, to be wearing stupid glasses. But listen, if you're somebody who battles with anxiety, or you have a hard time settling down at night, and oh, by the way,
utilize all the tools that are there,
right,
man.
And you're probably somebody, because now you don't have to have just a job and computer, you know, in order for you to be someone like this. Everybody does.
Everybody's in front of something electronic all the time.
All day long. We didn't have that 10 plus years ago.
It's so different today. Yeah. So different. One last thing I do want to say, this is something that Paul Cech talks about, and I want to mention this because I think it's brilliant, is you could try this in your workouts if you're feeling really stressed. You don't have your phone with you, you're going to go work out. try reverse breathing with your workout. So what it does is it forces you to be very present. So what I mean by that is standard ways of breathing when you lift weights is you exhale on the exertion and you inhale when you're lowering your weight. So if I'm squatting, for example, I'll breathe in, hold my breath, come down, and then on the way up when I'm exerting, I breathe out forcefully, right? And that's when people grunt. Paul Check will teach people, in order to get them to relax more, to reverse breathe, try this out. You, by the way, you got to go way lighter when you do this because you're not going to be as stable. But when you're coming up on the squat, breathe in. On the way out, breathe out. And breathe out on the way down. So you're actually switching it, reversing it.
You really have to think about
it. You really have to think about it. It makes you super present and makes the workout very relaxing.
Not to get lightheaded. Holy shit.
Next question is from Thoth41. What are your opinions on box squats, and would you ever do box squats over back squats?
I love box squats. Yeah. Absolutely. Recently, what I've been doing to really work on my mobility and my depth of my squat, that's always a problem for me. Two things. First, I didn't squat for a long time. All I did were split stance exercises. Now I'm going back to squats, and what I do is I have boxes, right? And I have three levels of height, and I pick the lowest one, which is a really low below parallel squat for me. And all I'm doing is I got under the bar and I'm lowering myself with as much control as possible until I can sit on the box. I sit there for a second and then I come up. And so the reason why I like box squats is it really helps teach people to have good control with good depth, and they have a target that they can hit.
I think it's that. It's also eliminates a lot of momentum if that's something you've always relied on. And that's why I like box squats. Box squats is... yeah, it's an achievable depth that you can go sit down towards, but you have to then really concentrate and generate force again to be able to dig yourself out of that bottom position, which is very difficult, you know, for somebody who hasn't done it before. And it teaches you to stay tense and to be able to still have the ability to produce force when you need it. So that's why I like it.
Yeah, because what you're talking about is when you, and I don't know what the name, there's a term for it. I don't know if it's stretch reflex. I don't think that's what it is. But
oh, right.
When you lower a weight, you can lift more when you lower a weight first. So if I go to do a heavy curl, I'm going to be stronger if I can lower it first and then curl it than if I just go straight from trying to curl it.
Right.
Same thing with the squat. Like if I lower the squat and then come up, I can lift more.
It's almost like this elastic energy potential. Like,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So. And so what a box squat does is it kind of gets rid of that. So in the squat, I squat down to the box and you're supposed to sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you stay tense.
Yeah.
You don't just relax.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You don't want to get rid of that tension and that stabilization.
Yeah. You want to go down. You want to sit on it. Actually, let it support your weight. Count to like one or two and then stand up. That increasing strength there, in my experience, you see a huge carryover to regular
squats.
Well,
I also, I love, there's so many different applications for it. Like I love using it for athletes. When you think about like a sprinter, a basketball player, a football player, rarely ever are they ever getting down into a full squat and exploding out of a full squat. Mm-hmm. That's just not, you'll never see a football player get all the way down ass to grass and then come out of that. When they're even like your lineman, if you actually were to look at the angle that their knee is at, it's not a beyond parallel squat. So, and you're also teaching them from that coiled position to explode from that. So I love it for like basketball training. It's so great. If you look at a basketball player before they jump up to dunk the basketball or get a rebound, it's about the height when you do like a good size box squat that is your basic, box that you would use, you'd sit down where your knees are barely at 90 or not even.
It's like
90.
A bench.
Yeah. Mm. And that explosion from the bottom up, or the power that you learn to generate from the bottom up like that is such a, it has a lot of carryover into a lot of sports.
I also think it's a good, box squats are a very basic general way of priming yourself before you do regular squats.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good general, in fact, MAPS Anabolic has box squats in there before
first
you do your
for
squats.
A reason. Yeah.
And the reason why I put them in there, and this is before I had a really, I knew I was writing a program for the general population, so I couldn't, and this is before we designed MAPS Prime, which allows you to really design your own priming. So I knew, generally speaking, before you squat, box squats typically will prime you to be able to do squats. It helps you activate your hips. It helps you activate and stabilize your core. And then you go on your squats and you just feel much better.
Well, that's the other thing that I've used it a lot for is along those lines of teaching a rookie squatter how to hinge back.
Because
like you said, having a target behind you that they have to sit on. It's funny when you have that
feedback is real helpful.
It is. It gets them in the habit of hinging back to sit down on the squat, which a lot of people have a hard time. The most common thing you see when you tell someone to squat and you've never taught them mechanics is they bend and bow at the knees, they rock their weight up on their toes, and they don't actually sit back or hinge back. They just bend down and their knees take all the stress. So I think it's a great tool for that also.
Next question is from Dad Bod J. For newer clients, how do you properly get them into doing more mobility work while keeping the session entertaining and engaged, since average people may find it boring?
You know, I picked this question.
Some jokes at them.
I picked this question because I thought this was something that we did, and I would recommend this person invest in the HIIT program. I thought one of the coolest things that we did in there were the flow sessions.
Oh, the mobility flow sessions.
And, you know, if you want to make it more fun or entertaining or, you know, less dry, I guess, because sometimes, like, if you're doing, like, combat stretch and you're sitting there with your ankle and you're kind of doing that, or you're sitting in a 90-90 position, but we did what we called flow sessions, which were these mobility drills that you transition from one mobility drill to another mobility drill. I think those are really cool. And I think that's a really cool thing to, like, teach a client and then teach them how to improve on that flow. It's almost like learning a dance move in a
Totally. Sense. Yeah. Right. And there are ways that you can, like, fluidly transition to those different poses. And I know yoga has been really good at kind of combining those different poses together. Well, it's the same kind of idea with that, but now taking these, like, mobility drills that, you know, are beneficial for their hips, for their upper back, you know, for wrists, you know, for shoulders, whatever, and you can really kind of construct it so it, like, follows this nice serpentine kind of thing.
Now, I used to think that mobility was boring, and that was until I had Dr. Justin Brink take me through mobility work. Then I realized it's not boring at all. The reason why I thought it was boring before is because you'd show a client, you'd show a client to do, and you'd be like, okay, go ahead and let's do this for 30 seconds and do that. No. When you do mobility properly, you're engaged the entire time. And if you're training someone properly as a personal trainer, if you're coaching them properly, you're helping them stay engaged the whole time. Pull up through here, push over here, activate this, push, squeeze this. You actually have to train and coach people.
It's actually more interactive.
It's more interactive. Yeah. And there's nothing boring about it. They are fucking present. It's not like it used to be where you tell your client, here's your mobility stuff, here's your stretches.
That's a really good point that you're bringing that up, because there is a major difference from when I tell somebody to do a 90-90 and then when I actually coach to it and give all the
you can tell right away they're not putting effort in, like, smashing their knee to the ground. And they just one little cue.
And that's really important when you're doing this, because we are trying to reconnect or get better connected to these muscles that have essentially fallen asleep on you. And so if you're not doing that, they're still going to have that default pattern. So to just go through stretches or quote unquote mobility work, you're not getting the best bang for your buck if you are not doing it with intention. And if you do it really well, you'll break a sweat.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. You'll break a sweat doing it, man.
It's part of the workout. There's nothing boring about mobility work done properly. And as a personal trainer, I'm going to be quite honest with you, you probably are going to have to coach more to it than you are with exercise, because it's all intrinsic. So how do you get someone to activate more here, more there, when they're not supposed to be moving? They're just supposed to be activating. You got to point on the top of their head. Okay, pull up through here. You know, pull in your chest over here. Yep. All right. No. Activate your core. Now hold all that together. Okay, push your
ribs
knee down.
Are flaring.
Yeah, it's like 30 seconds of fucking, you know, trying to activate and get your body in the right position. Combat stretch, we use that as an example. Yeah, if I just do combat stretch where I just move my knee forward and come back, that's boring. What you're supposed to do while you're doing it is you're supposed to try to pull your toes up off the floor.
If I'm not engaging my shin, you know, and the muscles there, like, it's like less active. It's like less involved.
Yeah, there's nothing boring about it if you do it properly.
Next question is from Kate Merrill Fit. What is the best way to determine exactly how many calories you should be eating? Obviously, it depends on individual goals. So let's say you want to shed 5% body fat while lifting 3 times a week.
You know, you could go online and you could find all kinds of calorie calculators that will tell you, based off of your activity, your gender, how much muscle mass you have, how many calories you should be consuming. Now, here's the secret to all of those.
Okay? I'm glad you picked this question.
Yeah, they're all inaccurate. Mm-hmm. There's such an individual variance when it comes to this. I could have two almost identical athletes, both with the same lean body mass, both with the same workouts, and this guy over here is consuming 300 to 400 more calories than this guy over here, and you know, and there's the same leanness, and they're maintaining the same leanness. So it's very individual. I only know of one way to figure this out for yourself, and unfortunately, it takes a little bit of work.
Right.
And the way I have
it's
people
the,
do
it's the best way though.
It's dude. It is. It's the only way though. Yeah. I don't know any other way.
The
to
only
do
other
it.
Way this the only way those other things work is if you happen to be generic and perfect. It's like yeah. the it's like
you fit into that standard.
It's
presented.
Like the calorie counters on the Stepmaster. Like they used a generic formula for that. They used an average male 30 to 40 at this body weight, this way, that. And so if you like fit the mold perfectly, then it ends up working. Like you have a healthy metabolism. You've done everything. Like if it, so there can be some people that use a Fitbit or use these tools and it like lines just up for you. Like it's possible. But even then you'd be far better off making sure of it by tracking. And this is, I've talked about this till I don't know how many times, and I feel like we should do some sort of a video that we can start to copy and paste and send, because we get this question so often where I'll open my DMs and I get Adam, I'm 175 pounds. I'm a 25-year-old male. I lift 5 days a week. I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, where should my calories and macros be?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. Yeah. Like, and I'm gonna tell what I'm gonna tell you is the same.
This is
thing,
where tech companies fail,
right? What I'm gonna tell you is the same thing I'm gonna tell somebody that is four times your size and moves has is you got to do this. You need to track. And so, I just had this conversation yesterday. The goal is this: when I'm tracking, and I say a minimum of a week, ideally 2 weeks, but a minimum of 1 week to 2 weeks, you track your food. You track your movement and steps. You track your exercise. You track all of it. And the goal is to eat when you're hungry, make good choices, and maintain your weight. You do not want to go up or down anywhere. You're trying to hover around the same weight, because the goal that we're trying to figure out right now is before we go up or down or go anywhere, we need to figure out what your maintenance is. Where does your body stay the same? Mm-hmm. When you eat X amount of calories, when you average X amount of steps and work out 3 times a week, where does your body stay the same? That will tell us everything. And what happens a lot of times, and this is where it gets very individualized, is, okay, great. Now we have your maintenance and your starting point. Now, the next question you have to ask yourself is that a healthy, sustainable place to be? Because what happens a lot of times is I'll get somebody and they'll come back to me, just had this recently. Girl's 170 pounds. She wants to reduce body fat, and she's got almost 130 pounds of lean mass. So she's muscular, built, you know, active, but only eats like 1600 calories and wants to lose like 8 to 10% body fat. Well, here's the problem. I could tell her, okay, reduce your calories 200 to 500 calories a day to start to lean out. The problem with that is, where does that put her? That puts her at like 1,200 calories a day and exercising just to lean out a little bit. So what that tells me is our metabolism is not in a healthy place yet to really try and restrict calories. And so this is where this gets complicated, is some people, now let's take another example, same body type, same everything, just a different person. They do their week of tracking and they come back and they say, Adam, I'm eating on average 2,400 calories and maintain that body. I can give that person a total different piece of advice than the other person who's at 1,800. The person at 1,800, I don't have a lot of room to restrict them calories. In fact, if anything, I want to reverse diet that person. The person that's at 2,400 or more calories that wants to, I can reduce that person 300 to 500 calories a day and still be in a very healthy, normal range. And something more and sustainable. You could eat 2,000 calories and probably feel decent if you're the average female.
Right.
But 1,200 is not something you're going to sustain.
Right. And here's the other thing, too, in terms of those calorie trackers that you wear and it tells you you're burning, you know, 2,000 calories a day. What's the accuracy on those supposed to be, like 95%, 90%?
Yeah, they say 90%.
Okay, so let's go 90%, okay? 90% means if you're eating, if your body is, 1,500 calories, it'll measure you 100 calories up or down. Now do the math with that. 100 calories up or down being off, that can turn into pounds of body fat over a few months. So the only way you're going to know how many calories you should be eating to maintain is if you track and your body weight stays the same. It's mm-hmm. the only way to do it. It takes more time, but we have yet to invent any device or any mathematical calculation you can figure out to know what that's at. And in, like Adam's saying, you can change it through diet and exercise quite a bit. I've now done it several times with clients where I've gotten their bodies to burn 600 to 800 more calories a day just because we've got their metabolism faster. And that's a great position to be in, especially if you're trying to get lean. Like Adam was saying, you don't want to be in a position where, oh, cool, I lost 8% body fat, but now just to keep it off, I can only eat 1,200 calories a day.
Right, that's not sustainable.
No, not in modern times.
No, and that's why it's so important to figure this out and to find out specifically what yours is and not to use these generic formulas, not to ask a guy like us questions like that, because I could just rattle off a number. Oh, okay, based off you're 27 years old, you move this much, you exercise that much, you have this much muscle. Yeah. Okay, you should be eating 2,600 calories. No, okay.
That's still not enough.
It's just not, because there's such a variance between all of us that you easily could be somebody who 2,600 calories is about what keeps you to maintenance. But then you could also be the example.
If your hormones are off, I mean, there's just, you could go down the list of variables out there that it's just, will throw, the smallest thing will throw it off like, a substantial amount.
And
so it's just tough.
More often than not, the people that I get that would struggle with this stuff are the ones that are in not a good position already metabolism-wise. The reason why they're reaching out and asking this is they feel like, man, Adam, I've already been restricting calories. I'm a good eater. And then I find out, I'm like, well, shit, okay, I do see why you feel that way, because you're right. You're only eating 1,500.
Like barely anything.
Yeah, 1,500 calories, and you're looking to me to tell you how much you need to cut in order to lose. And I'm looking at you going, you got to go the other direction right now. We got to build your metabolism up so you're not in a healthy place.
Exactly. I do want to remind everybody, I think when this episode airs, what is it, the final day, Doug?
Final
day for the 50% off MAPS Aesthetics. I want to remind you, if you want to get MAPS Aesthetic, this is the bodybuilder-inspired, physique competitor-inspired, bikini competitor-inspired.
Most popular program we have.
Figure
sexy
competitor-inspired.
Sexy body-inspired.
This is the program designed to sculpt and shape your body the way you see fit. It's a very advanced program, lots of volume, it's a hard workout. But it's very effective. It's half off. It ends. This is the final day. You got to go to mapsblack.com, and you have to use the code BLACK50, BLACK, the number 50, no space, at checkout to get the discount.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.